Welcome to Parent Talk on this beautiful Saturday morning, a kind of beautiful Saturday morning that you have only in the Bay Area. If you're spending your valuable time listening to this show instead of being outdoors, my heartfelt thanks, and hopefully we can make this show interesting and useful and make it worth your while to be listening. I'm your host, Vidya. Before we get to the topic of the day, which is yoga, especially how yoga can help kids, I have a few things to share with you. For those who have been listening regularly, last week was our show on cheating in high school, and we had Mission San Jose high schooler Kevin Jai, who had come on the show and talked about how his kids, how his generation of kids views cheating. And after the show ended, he sent me an email and had a few more thoughts to share. So I thought we could just quickly sort of touch on those, because I think he had some important things to say. His first point was that, you know, our generation, his parents' generation, has a lot of emphasis, places a lot of emphasis on testing. And that's very true, because when we were young, our report cards pretty much determined what kind of college we were going to get into. And I believe that is to a large extent still true in India. However, American colleges, and this is, these are his words, American colleges do look at many other things when considering somebody for admission. So, American parents or parents in America should really look at that rather than getting very involved with the child's performance on every test. And I thought that was a good point to make, and it's something that we certainly will cover in a future show on college admissions. The second point that he discussed was that, you know, cheating in school, we were trying to link it to kids being very comfortable with online music downloads illegally, online music, online movies, and somehow how that had created a culture where cheating was somehow looked at not such a big deal. And the way he explained it was that when you download something online illegally, you really don't think of it as stealing, because it's sharing, that you haven't actually taken it away from the person who created that thing in the first place. So then that becomes a little bit of a slippery slope. And the third thing he said was, you have to make a distinction between accessing information on the web and accessing analysis on the web. And often kids are not able to make that difference when they don't realize that there's a difference between, you know, finding some information that helps with their research and finding the wholesale research. And it's something that that's a distinction that I think parents have to help their kids understand. So those are the things he wanted to talk about. I have two more pieces of information to share with you before we start on today's show. The first one is that our show time is changing next week onwards. I'm going to keep repeating it over the course of the show. So if you missed it this time, that's okay. We are going to be moving to 10 to 11 a.m. on Saturday mornings from our current time of 11 to 12. And of course, it'll still be our live show, and our call-in number is always 770-1550. And you can always listen to us live at the Facebook Radio Zindagi page if you're not near a radio. The next thing I want to share with you is that from this show onwards, we're starting a new segment called Parenting Email Question of the Week. Now, this is the question that I'm going to put forward to all you parents listening to this show. And I want you to write the answer to me. If you have a thought on this or an idea on this, I want you to write to me at radio@indiacc.org. Today's question is, have you ever lied to your child and why? Once again, the question is, have you ever lied to your child and why? And don't call in today for the answer. Today we are doing a show on yoga, but do write into me at radio@indiacc.org, and we will read some of the interesting answers out on the air next week. Of course, if you want your name to be kept confidential, we will absolutely do that. So with that, let's move on to today's show on yoga. I have with me as my guest on the show, Lipika, who's a yoga instructor at the India Community Center, and she'll be sharing her expertise with us on the show. First, let's take a break, since I've been talking nonstop for a while, and I'm sure you're looking forward to a nice song. Welcome back to Parent Talk. Today's topic is yoga, especially how kids can be helped by yoga. And I have with me in the studio, Lipika, who's a yoga instructor with the India Community Center. Welcome, Lipika.
Thank you so much, Vidya, for having me on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. And I know we're going to be talking a little more about, very specifically about how yoga can help kids. But right now, I just want to talk a little bit about the general stuff surrounding yoga, because yoga, I think, has become the biggest cultural import from India, and rivaling Bollywood. Bollywood is catching up, but I think yoga is still the biggest cultural import that we have. And it has been, in a sense, so co-opted by the American society that I feel that in some ways, maybe we don't even recognize the yoga in America today for what we grew up with.
That's true. That's true.
And I was inspired to do this show today by this recent article in the New York Times entitled, How Yoga Can Wreck Your Body. So, you know, it was a very provocative article. I think it raised a lot of angry comments. But I'd like to really talk about that, because we today may not have a real understanding of what yoga really means. So can you start us off by just telling us, in the traditional, in the purest sense, what is yoga?
See, when you talk of yoga, the word is self-explanatory. Mm-hmm. Yoga means unison.
Union.
Yes, okay. Union, and a union of mind, body and soul.
I see.
So when you get all of these three together, that what makes yoga. So yoga is not necessarily what we know here as in the physical aspect, the asanas.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga is when you work with your mind, when you work with your soul. That's the yoga as in what it explains. The asanas, the body, how your body works with it, comes later on. If your mind is not there, you're not doing yoga. You can be doing any physical activity, but if your mind is not there, present, and you're not feeling it, you're not aware of it, it's not yoga.
Well, okay, that sounds much bigger than what we now know of as yoga, right? You think of yoga as one more thing to add to your repertoire of various exercise choices. And the other thing that confuses me is that now we have so many kinds of yoga. And why? How can you have kinds of yoga? You have Bikram yoga, hot yoga, cold yoga, you know, every temperature of yoga and every level of difficulty of yoga.
That's
so
true.
How do you have different kinds of yoga? Shouldn't it be when you depart from it, when you have your own take on it, isn't it something else? Can you still call it yoga?
Okay, let me go a few centuries back. The first, when yoga has been explained in Gita, in Upanishad, in Vedas, and the Patanjali, Rishi Patanjali, he got everything together and he documented it for the people so that they can also achieve the higher goals for him or for us. I'll say for myself is also moksha. But we'll not go that back. I'll just tell you the basic where it started from.
Okay.
It has four divisions. It has Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Raj Yoga.
Okay.
But yoga as we know now in West, the kinds are like numerous. I mean, I can't even count all of them, but few examples are like, yes, Hot Yoga, which is Bikram Yoga. You have Hatha Yoga.
What is that?
Hatha Yoga is when you are doing on the physical aspect of it.
Okay.
Only when you are putting your body into a certain postures and all.
So the asanas would be the Hatha Yoga.
They
okay.
all have asanas. But
they all have asanas. Okay.
Yeah, they all have asanas, but the focus changes a little bit from here and there.
Okay.
Like Bikram Yoga, everybody knows the temperature of the room would be higher, so it's easier for muscles to get warmer faster.
Mm-hmm.
You get into deeper stretches faster. At the same way, there's a Kundalini Yoga where you energize the whole, the Kundalini, the energy power in you lying in your body. You have to enlighten it. You make it flow. And then there is a Vinyasa Yoga, which is the flow yoga, which you, as you breathe, you move your body. It's just like when you breathe in and you breathe out, you go in and out of the postures. And yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Yes.
So, I mean, the list is endless.
Endless.
I mean, I can go on and on about...
What confuses me is, how can you still call it yoga?
See, they all have the derivatives from the same base.
Okay.
Like, why we all call it yoga? They all emphasize on some breathing you have to focus on.
Okay.
But each yoga offers you slightly different. It's just like when you say, why do we have so many kinds of yoga? So what do I get of from all these different kinds.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say, what are you looking for? Like, see, inventions is a mother of, necessity is a mother of inventions, right? Mm-hmm. So what I'm looking for is what I make. For example, I'll say I'm looking to calm myself at the end of the day. Then okay. I'll go to a kind of yoga which calms me down, which relaxes my body and mind, mm-hmm. and which I get a good night's sleep.
So but how as a lay person, am I going to make that decision? Isn't it complicated because now there are so many choices available to me?
See, you have to do your research and also what's available near you. I'll not say if you get the best of it, you will be traveling miles to get or maybe going to India because I want to do yoga or want. The thing is what is available around you and also what you're looking for. Not that everybody is looking to calm down because most of the people I come across these days are it's totally a physical base. They just want to get in shape. Or they are ex-athletes for that matter, so they don't want to lose
the
that.
Limberness
exactly.
Of the muscles.
They don't want to
yes.
lose it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So what are you looking for? That's what you have to look. And the good way of saying or trying out is always, always try out. Just don't say that I'll not do this. Oh, I don't like this or I would not ever would do something like that. Whether it's yoga or any kind of physical activity you are you're inclined to, just try that. Give yourself a try. And yoga is also like that. I mean, yoga is always saying try yourself, try it for being who you are. That's how the search is for. I mean, physical part. Yoga is one part of the whole your life essence.
True,
we all
true.
Are looking for something,
but,
right? So,
you know, the reason I ask is because. This article that I just quoted, which it says how yoga can wreck your body, it came about because the author had tried and got hurt as a result. He had actually really injured his back, and I think that created in him this real anger towards yoga. And so he was moved to find out what as a buyer should you beware of, you know, in terms of yoga. So, you know, is there a real risk of getting injured if you don't know what you're doing? And how do you prevent that?
Definitely. This is the injury or any kind of a risk what you're talking. It's of any kind of physical activity. If you do not know what you're doing, you're going to injure yourself, whether it's yoga or Zumba or any other hardcore fitness activity.
Yes.
So you have to find the right instructor. So for us or anybody who's lay to the whole idea or just new, the first step is to find the right place where you get the right instructors. The people,
right.
the instructors should be well qualified. They should know what they're doing.
Do you tell? Suppose I was now going and looking for a yoga instructor. How do I figure that out? You know, is there a certification process for?
There is, as such, is yeah. There's no the whole body which gives you a certificate. Okay, now you are certified.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another non-profit body in America called mm-hmm. Yoga Alliance.
Yoga Alliance.
That's
okay.
True.
Mm-hmm.
So they have certain guidelines and rules to follow. So mm-hmm. I think. Essentially, they are the closest one we have in here
mm-hmm.
who can give you, certify you, like they have YRT 200s, YRT 500s, and so on and so forth.
So there is a certification process
yes.
of sorts.
Yes.
Yoga Alliance. Okay, that's good to know. That's a good resource for our listeners if they want to just check that out. And do you have a website? Is this yogaalliance.org
yeah.
or something?
Yes.
Or
yeah, you can
Google
it and you'll find
Alliance.
It. Yeah. So
the reason I ask is that in this particular article, there's an instructor who's mentioned, and he says, and I'm quoting him, he says, "I make it as hard as possible. It's up to you to make it easy on yourself." Does this make sense to you?
What I think what he may mean is, like, you're offering them to do certain. For example, if I'm telling you to do a certain posture,
mm-hmm.
it depends upon you, your flexibility or your body type to get into it or how you get into it. But as an instructor, it's my job to let you know that if you have certain issues, please do not attempt to that level, or I'll tell you to stop where you feel there's too much straining on your muscles. Or the whole thing is listen to yourself, listen to your body. You have to stop where you think it's getting too much.
So it's not no pain, no gain. We don't believe in that.
No.
No.
No, no. See, no. If you think the pain will give you the answer, then actually you're injuring yourself, I'll say.
Okay. So that's a good rule to follow, that if it's hurting, you're not doing something
right.
Yeah,
hurting. See, there's always a fine line between when I say hurting or injuring yourself. Mm-hmm. Like even when I do with kids, there's something which I call them, again, it's a fun way of talking. I said, see, this is a sweet pain. For example, if they are working, they have warmed up, and we are working on a certain muscles of our body, then they feel, oh, it's so hurting, I can't do it, I can move it. Then it's okay, let's move it a little bit further and work on it. The thing is, you do not want to tear a muscle, you don't want to strain a muscle,
right.
But at the same time, you want to push your limits.
Okay.
So the first step...
It's a really balancing act.
It's a very balancing act, but what really, really helps is the warms up. I mean, if your body is not warmed and you just want to do it, because I have seen certain instructors, they want to give the difficult class. But what you lose on is your body is not fully warmed up. And if you're not warmed up, you're definitely going to injure yourself.
I think that's true for pretty much any form of exercise.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So always give yourself 15-20 minutes ahead of the class. Warm yourself up, or even depends upon your body condition or body type. If you have joint issues and thing, I'll say go to elliptical, spinning or something where you work your muscles. And once you go in the class, and then you are able to really work on your own body. No class is same. No people would be same.
Right.
Everything depends on you. It's when you go to a class, it's you are working on. Forget anything else, what other people are doing. Just listen, and where you have to keep your awareness, and just go for it and listen to yourself. That's the whole idea.
Fantastic. Listeners, if you have some thoughts to share on yoga, if you are practicing yoga and you have some things to share about that, do call us at 510-770-1550. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk a little more about the general information on yoga before we go on to our specifics, which is kids and yoga. And again, I also want to remind you that we have a parenting email question of the day, which is, have you lied to your child and why? And you can email us your thoughts on radio@indiacc.org. Once again, radio@indiacc.org. Let's go take a break now.
Calling young Picassos and Monets. If you love to draw or paint, then the ICC Kids Art Contest is the right place for you. It will be held on Sunday, March 4th from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. The theme will be Images of India. Learn more about this event and all other kids' events at www.indiacc.org.
Welcome back to Parent Talk. I'm your host Vidya, and today we're talking to yoga instructor Lipika about yoga. We talked and some, you know, talked a little generally about yoga. I have a few more questions, and then we'll get to talking about how yoga can help kids specifically. And one of the things I wanted to ask Lipika is, you know, in today's world, how does one make time for yoga? Because I think this has been my biggest challenge. I've started and stopped yoga many times, and I'm talking about the posture related yoga, I have to say. But it always seems like this is a 40, 50 minute, an hour commitment of time. So what do we do, and why do we need to prioritize that? Why is it important?
That's a really good question, actually, Vidya. That's true. In today's world, everybody's running. Even if you are staying at home or working or any kind of an activity or you're involved in, there's no time. So why yoga is so important?
Mm-hmm.
See, for yoga is, I'll say, is the basis. Is the base of how to live your life.
Okay.
So when you
That's very deep.
That's true. See, the Raj Yoga, that whole understanding is to tell you how to lead your life to live a better and healthy life.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'll say, again, as I mentioned earlier, it's maybe a moksha for so many people, but what we see is what we get, like what you want in life. You say, I want to live a happy, healthy life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where the yoga come into an action. That if your mind is healthy, it's at peace, it's at calm, then your body also starts responding.
Okay.
If you, you must have seen in your life when your body, your mind is not, you know, at peace and you have so many things going on, or if something is troubling you or you are under stress. So even if you are trying to do something, it will not help you, or you won't be able to do it, or maybe you will not be able to give 100%. So the first step towards doing anything is first calm yourself. Just get to a level where you start seeing everything in a different perspective. And that's where yoga helps you.
Is it something, is that part of it, the mind part of it? Is this something that you deal with in your classes?
Your mind, as I always say, that, mind, you have to get control first. Because physical activity you get in so many other ways. You can, run, jog, or do other physical exercises. So make those exercises, those things are yoga. Do them as yoga. Do anything you want to, but do it as in yoga. Now, what does it mean?
Really?
It means that you apply your mind, your awareness to it, and then do the same thing.
So being mindful is
exactly
a pretty big catchword these days. So
exactly.
That's what you're talking about. It's an, what you're saying is part of yoga, that being mindful. Do everything with your mind fully in it.
Yes,
tough in these days. But.
See, the simple, even when you go out to shop, or when you play with your kids, or mm-hmm. when you are just going for a walk, or you're coming to work, or even when you're working right now. So make it a yoga experience. So that's what even I tell the kids, when I see my elder one, she loves Lindor chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
So the inner part of the Lindor chocolates, if you've eaten those round ones, it's really soft.
Yes.
So one time when I saw her, when that part came, she just closed her eyes and then she was just enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so amazed. I said, this is what yoga is all about.
Great example.
So, and I was so taken aback and like shocked. I said, I was so glad that this is all she's getting to it, and they are understanding what I'm trying to teach for all these years.
That's a fabulous example.
Yeah, so just being there, that's the idea.
At that moment, that's all you're doing.
Yeah, that's a very good example too, even to the level. When I end my class, I just give them a pointer. Sometimes like, okay, can you do this for me at home, or do this, or sit in this pose for this more minutes, and various fun activities to do them at home. So this is one of them which I do. I said, just take one of your favorite fruit, because chocolate, I don't want to encourage. Parents won't like it. But I did tell them, I said, if you get that Lindor chocolate or anything which you really like, just keep it in your mouth and just close your eyes. And then just go through that whole experience, how it feels on your tongue, what happens when you take it between your teeth. Then go through it, close your eyes and feel it, and come to the next class and tell me how was it.
That's a wonderful way of looking at it. And that brings me to my next question. You're providing them that direction, that pointer. So is yoga something you really do need a guru for, or somebody, a teacher for? Or is it something that you can just take up and say, okay, this is something important to me, I'm going to learn it on my own? Is that something you can do?
So how will you learn it from your own? That's my question.
Videos, DVDs. Believe me, now there are like shows for everything.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. It's books and videos and DVDs. Yeah. That's true. Everything is available. But I'll say what makes the first connection is when you are with the instructor. Mm-hmm. Because it's a live human being. And if they are... they are there to guide you. There's no harm with DVDs. There's no harm with books. They all are for enlightenment. But that whole thing is take a step towards it. Don't start there, because there's a very high possibility that you will not like it, mm-hmm. or you will not stick to it for a longer period of time.
Or you can get hurt.
That's the biggest thing. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Start there where somebody can guide you or somebody can really help you out with, give you the whole direction. And then once you have the direction, you can take it to any level you want.
You can take it up on your own. And is there, I know you work primarily with kids, but is there an age that you'd say, okay, you have to be really careful if you're this old before starting yoga, because it is going to impact your body in certain ways? Can you be too old to start yoga?
Nobody is too young or too old to start yoga.
Anytime.
To a 90-year-old, to, I'll say, 2 years old. I had 2 years old in my class too sometimes, yeah.
Young, I can understand, because, you know, when you're young, your bodies are really mobile and flexible.
That's a secondary. The whole thing, people think, oh, kids, they are so flexible. Nope, that's not what they're here for. They can do all the jumping at their home they wish to. The whole idea is to get there. They come here with their mind also. You have to be mentally aware in the class. You think a 2-year-old, it's easy to just hang out without the parents and just there and listening to what I'm saying. So that's I say this is an achievement. I always tell parents, just be proud of your kids. If they're sitting with me for 1 hour, even if they're not doing it.
I was going to say that.
Yeah,
you know, you're saying a 2-year-old can do yoga, but then for you, yoga is so much a component. Such a big component of yoga is the thinking about it.
Yes,
being
so.
Mindful, being aware of what you're doing. And in a sense, kids are. They are very self-aware. That is, there's no doubt about that. But they are not young enough to receive instruction and receive guidance. So how, if you start someone that young, how do you actually communicate the core principles of yoga to somebody that young?
See, we don't talk theory in the class, but what happens with the class, they get the environment. The first step is in the classes. When we started the class, say around 4 years back, it was all about giving them that environment where they feel comfortable in. The first thing I put, like I told parents, and it was the first rule in the class, just be who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to be something. You know, the kids, some like 5 years old, 6 years old, also had tendency to want to impress you, or they have too many. You won't even believe the kind of ego issues they have among
competitiveness,
themselves.
Competitiveness,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And too much. So that I told them, and how I try to give them an environment is, no, we are not looking at each other. We are not trying to see what you can do or what I can do. The whole thing is just do look at yourself, focus on yourself. In fact, now also the core rule is focus on yourself. You're not looking at what other people are doing or what other kids are doing, because there will be all kind of kids. It's not just like when you are in yoga, they all are calm, they're all peaceful. No, there are so many people who will be just trying to run around, or they want to move their mat around because now they want to jump.
How do you handle
that? Well, that comes with experience and patience, I guess. But yeah, their learning experiences also, because world is full of all kind of people. You have to learn to deal with them. You have to learn to focus in that whole chaotic atmosphere.
That is true, but you know, I still feel that having someone really young start yoga, I always associate yoga with at least having the desire to aim towards some patience. You know, you have to slow down. Yoga, actually, that's the biggest, I think, difficulty, and at the same time the biggest boon of yoga is that it forces you to slow down. And how do kids do that? I mean, they're naturally so wired to, and in this environment, in today's day and age, they're even more wired. So, you know, how do you get them to just stop and...
You know, you'll be amazed, actually. The kids are, we don't give them enough... we don't think that they can do it, but they are amazing. They are just amazing. In fact, it was easier for me when I do with the kids. Like I have two age groups, which is four to eight, and then another one is eight and up. But the first group I'm talking of, that four and eight, they are amazing, amazing group of kids. I mean, the parents always think that, oh, they are so all over the place. Yeah, they are doing this, and I want them to calm down. That's where they come to my class. But once they enter the class, because initially it takes a while because they do not know what to expect out of the class. Mm-hmm. But once they get that whole how we work in the class, so what's my relation to them, how they had to communicate to each other. So they have their totally different camaraderie among themselves also. They have so much, because the first rule is we have to respect each other. We have to listen to each other. We have to help each other out. And once we say namaste, we all are friends. So nobody judges anyone. We mm-hmm. all try to just be there and just enjoy ourselves for where we are. So,
well, Deepika, we have been talking about how yoga helps kids, but we have one of your students in the studio today. His name is Atharva Purandare. And we're going to take a break. And after we come back, we're going to talk to him and we're going to talk to his parents and see what how he likes his yoga class, how he has approached it, what changes he feels and what changes his parents have seen in him. So let's take a quick break. As always, our number is 510-770-1550 if you have some thoughts. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Atharva about his own experience with yoga. And we'll see how yoga really impacts kids.
Youth Dawa, Bay Area's most popular annual dance competition, hosted and presented by ICC, is on Saturday, March 31st. Youth Dawa encourages teams to show off their skills and creative abilities by planning and performing a dance routine to Indian and fusion music. The registration deadline is February 24th. To register, visit www.indiacc.org.
Welcome back to Parent Talk. I'm your host, Vidya. That song sounded horrible, so I decided it would be much better served by listening to our guests, because I'm sure they have some wonderful insights to share with us. So in this segment, we have with us Atharva Purandare and his dad, Mureshwar. And they, Atharva is one of Lipika's students, and he's been doing yoga for a while. Hello, Atharva.
Hello.
Hi, and how old are you?
I am 9 years old.
And how long have you been doing yoga?
I am doing yoga for about 3.5 years.
Fantastic. And what was it difficult to begin with? Was it tough to just stay put in one position?
Yeah, it was very difficult.
Why was it difficult?
Because I was not used to yoga that time, because I just started yoga when I was in first and second grade.
So how did you agree? Did you protest when your mom said you have to start, or mom or dad said when you had to start yoga? Did you say, no, I'd rather be playing, or I'd rather be doing soccer or something like that?
No, but then in yoga, I tried my best each time, and I finally got it.
You got it. That's wonderful. When you say got it, what do you mean? When you say, do you think, what in your mind means getting yoga? What is getting, doing well in yoga?
Yeah, means getting yoga in my mind means doing well in yoga.
Okay. And which is the part that you dislike most about yoga?
No, I don't dislike anything about yoga.
You love it?
Yeah.
I was talking to your parents in the break, and they were saying that you were also now teaching them some yoga.
Yeah.
So what do you teach them?
I like show what poses we did in the class.
Okay, and is poses the only thing you do, or do you do other things as well as part of the yoga?
We do breathing exercises.
You do breathing exercises, that's right. I think that's something that we really didn't talk about, but a big part of yoga is breathing exercises, right?
Yeah.
And is there a lot of counting involved in the breathing exercises, that you have to count your breaths in between movements?
Yeah.
And how I know there's one, I remember from my days doing yoga, that there used to be one which involved water also. Do you do that kind of exercise where you take water in through one nostril, take it out of the other? Is that something you do in your classes?
No.
Not yet, I guess. Mureshwar, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And what was your thinking in putting Atharva in a yoga class?
So, personally, I have done yoga when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I found it very useful, because I was very big in sports, and I felt yoga really helped in my sports activities, and it allowed me to focus.
Right.
And I thought Atharva absolutely needs it, because he's very active.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting at one place is like a punishment to him. And so,
and you picked yoga?
Yeah.
So, most parents would have put them in karate or soccer or something like that.
So he also does soccer and all the other games. Mm-hmm. But I specifically...
He plays cricket
a lot.
Okay.
So, but I wanted him to get used to yoga. And it's very important in long term. Because as I'm getting old...
And he plays soccer. Let's not forget that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So as I get older, I'm finding that the most important thing for me for health is yoga. And I also go to the classes at ICC.
Okay.
And I talked to my instructor, and he said, Lipika teaches really well to the young children. So you should ask your son to go there. This is the best time. And what I found was Lipika teacher teaches us so well that all these kids are completely into it.
That's fabulous.
Right. Mm-hmm. So when I watch from outside, I see they all are focused.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do a good job. And they're enjoying. For me, seeing my son 1 hour doing something without our supervision and focused, and sitting in one place, it's an amazing experience because he's very active.
Mm-hmm.
And I see all the kids there, they're into a different world and the whole atmosphere. And few minutes back, there was a question. There are so many videos and everything else. I can tell you, at my home also, we have Astha channel and you have all these Ramdev Baba programs.
Absolutely.
Right? Which are
yes.
fantastic.
Yes.
And I think it's great for knowledge. But when I see them in the classroom, mm-hmm. the connection the kids make to each other and with the teacher, and the whole lighting and atmosphere, beautiful place with the wooden floor and all, I don't think you can ever replicate it at home. The only reason I wanted to come here and talk was, it's a fantastic opportunity for our children to learn mm-hmm. at such a small age. And we have fantastic instructors like Lipika teaching in a very beautiful facility like ICC. So I want to encourage all the parents to take the maximum benefit of such a fantastic facility.
And that's indiacc.org is a website, and you can go there to learn more. But I want to talk a little bit more about, is it better, do you think that something of the benefit comes from it also being in a group, that they're working as a group?
I think it's absolutely there. The kids, somehow they learn from each other a lot, and they like each other.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a lot of peer pressure. It's a good type of peer pressure, but... So they see somebody else doing something, they want to do it also.
Right?
There is
yeah,
a competitiveness.
Competitiveness, yes.
And I think you can't offer that at home.
Right.
So there are 10 kids and they all want to learn.
So there are 10 kids.
Atharva.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Do you want
Go
to
ahead.
Say something?
Absolutely, tell
yeah.
us.
Because
so are they your close, Atharva?
Do you like to play with them there?
Yeah, I like to play with them.
So have you formed friendships that go outside the yoga class also? So are you friends with
yeah.
them outside the class as well?
Yeah, but in the yoga class, I like yoga because yoga is very good. And if you do yoga every day, you might stay healthy for all your entire life.
Yeah. Absolutely, okay. absolutely. Yeah. Fantastic. You're absolutely right. Does it require, and I'll ask you, Atharva, does it require you to practice every day? Do you need to do some yoga every day, or is it enough to do it just for that one class?
No, doing yoga for one class is not enough. We need to do yoga each day for at least 20 minutes.
At 20 minutes. So that's a 20-minute commitment on a daily basis. But there's so much other stuff happening in your life. There's karate, there's soccer, there's school, homework. How do you find the time?
I find
when do you
time?
Do it, actually?
Because when I come home, normally, and Tuesdays I go for math Olympiad. So when I come home, but on Tuesday, I think, is the only day where I don't find time to do yoga.
Otherwise, you are able to find the 20 minutes?
Yeah, each other day.
Each every other
because
day?
Because when I come home, I need to do my school homework.
Right.
On Wednesday, on Mondays and Thursdays when I go for yoga class, I like when I come home, I normally do my homework and then play games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so sometimes on Monday in the evening I do yoga, and after on Wednesdays normally after I come from school I start doing my school homework, and around 6 o'clock in the evening sometimes
what he likes is what I found is when he wants to do that and a lot of times there is partly showmanship also, so he wants to show us what he learned,
of course,
and I think that also allows him to do it, and then it has transformed into making us do yoga with him.
Right. So it becomes a family bonding
activity.
Exercise.
Right.
Certainly, that's
and
a lovely
I
thing.
I think it goes good because his grandmother and parents are also there. So they like to see him do, and he gets all the additional attention. So I think all of these things really help.
So you're able... Is he coming to you and saying, okay, now it's time for me to do yoga, or is it a prompt that you still have to
do? No, I don't do at all, actually. It's completely left to him. Mm-hmm. Because for me, but that's because I want to do it. I'm not making you do it.
Right.
And I think that's the beauty of it. He goes to class twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And now it has transformed into a habit. And I don't push it, because if I push it, it becomes my activity. I want
right.
it to stay his activity and he doing on his own. Because our initial goal was to make sure he get used to it. So we did that part. First year was our job. I think now it's a self-sustaining activity.
That's fantastic. I don't think many pursuits, many hobbies can claim that.
Yeah.
That the children are so interested that they want to do it themselves. So this yeah. is truly a success for Lipika and yeah. her kind of teaching, and certainly his dedication.
Yeah.
So tell me something. What have you noticed as a change in him ever since? Because he's been doing it for 3.5 years now. So
actually, a lot of things change. One is balancing. So one of the things they teach is standing on one leg.
That's right.
And balancing and things like that. So initially balancing versus now. A lot of difference.
Okay.
Flexibility. So things like lotus pose, what we call in English, full lotus pose.
Padmasana.
Padmasana,
right.
Absolutely.
So Padmasana
good job.
In Hindi. So initially it was not easy. But now I see him, if he wants to sit anytime, he can sit 5 minutes without any issues, and he can stretch himself to 15, 20 minutes in Padmasana. Now, I used to do Padmasana. Right now, I have a tough time in doing it. So I actually appreciate and value that.
And flexibility.
And it tells me that, hey, there is an improvement. Same thing with other asanas, Vajrasana and all. And the best part is when we hear, and because now we see videos and all, there is so much of value coming out of each of these asanas. So if you do Vajrasana after dinner, it helps your digestive system.
For
10 minutes. And so in his young age...
Okay,
I've
got to make a note of that.
Yeah.
Vajrasana after dinner for 10 minutes.
Yeah,
okay,
helps,
there you go.
Right.
All right.
So things like this, if kids remember in the small age, and if they practice, it becomes part of their life. And it can help them in so many things. And what I've seen is after my parents and everybody else and of their age people, a lot of issues in the old age. And the solutions are very simple. And those are coming out of yoga. And what I see, these small kids learning from Lipika's classes, variety of these asanas, poses, which are going to go a long way. And they don't even know all the benefits. Yes, what do you want to
say? Go ahead. What do you have to share?
Like, I want to share about sun salutation, Surya Namaskar.
Okay.
Can you tell about the Surya Namaskar?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
So we just recently were participating in Surya Namaskar Yajna.
Mm-hmm.
And Surya Namaskar, if you look at every pose, it's like a different asana.
Mm-hmm.
And every asana has a value.
Mm-hmm.
Thing like Parvatasana and all of these are there as part of Surya Namaskar.
That's right.
So if somebody does Surya Namaskar every day, even 12 of those, you are hitting 12 different asanas at one shot. And each of those has totally different value to your body.
Parts of the body.
Yeah.
But you know, all this again is very much the physical aspect of it. What about his mind? Lipika talked a great deal about how yoga is actually a mind-body-soul cohesion. So
yeah, what do you
want to share? Yes, go ahead, tell us.
So yeah, as mind... And yeah, for other than the physical things, the mind and the breathing exercises and the chanting. So, and
what change have you seen?
Meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a big mind exercise in yoga.
So at this age, he even talks about Kapalbhati,
mm-hmm.
which Ramdev Baba, for example, absolutely insists as one of the most important thing one should do.
It's a breathing exercise.
Breathing exercises.
Mm-hmm.
So they do those kind of exercises. When he does meditation, he actually can focus and sit quiet for 10 minutes.
Wow, I couldn't do that.
Yeah,
In Padmasana.
Fantastic.
So that's a real value added. At his age, if he can do that kind of thing, and I hope he keeps continuing.
Has it sort of translated into other parts of his life, that ability to focus on something for 10 minutes at a time?
So. Yeah, I think it makes a huge difference, because I have seen now when he does painting and everything else, he can be equally focused. And these are the times he's not talking anything, just focused and do one thing. And the same focus you can see on computers, and learning. So,
yeah. Lipika, I'd like to bring you back for just one quick minute. We are just about coming to the end of the show, and you can share quickly what, where people with interest, people who are listening, if they're interested in learning more about yoga and ICC's yoga programs, how they can go about it. Quick 20 seconds.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sandhya. Vidya. Sorry. So we have different programs in ICC. Kids Yoga, of course, where we have in two different age groups. One is 4 to 8. Mm-hmm. Another one is 8 and up. Then we have Pranayama Yoga. We have Beginner's Yoga. We have Power Yoga. And we have Hatha Yoga. So any kind of a yoga which you're looking for, which is best suited to your needs and requirements, you can try out in ICC.
And let me correct me if I'm wrong, but once you sign up for, you can separately sign up for the classes, or do you have to become a member and then it becomes...
Yes, you have to be a member.
And then everything is accessible.
Because not only these kind of, there are all different kinds of classes which are offered. You can go to a website and check out. And whatever suits your needs. Just
let me give that web address again. It's indiacc.org. And of course, our email is